An Arabic documentary has revealed that a leader of a terrorist group that conducted espionage and other anti-government operations in Iran was hired by Bahrain's king. Additionally, Bahrain had supported terror groups inside of Iran. In this edition of The Debate, we will look at why Bahrain is conducting anti-Iran activities, while at the same time blaming Iran of doing the same inside of Bahrain, something that Iran has denied. Before discussing Bahrain's courting with terrorists, let's cross on over to Beirut and ask Press TV's Mariam Saleh to give us a quick review of the documentary. Mariam, this documentary obviously sheds light about some of the anti-Iran activities in general that Bahrain has conducted, apparently through its king. Tell us more about what this documentary entailed and some details behind it.
Yes, well, of course, this documentary seems to be a big bomb that the Qatari channel has released, if we may say. As you know, there are political problems in its relations with Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, but they do seem to have a strong weapon here. And the Bahraini kingdom has already launched a good defense, as they call it, which is definitely an offense against this documentary. Now, basically, what we do know is that they have people who actually themselves worked, and they are confessing clearly to having taken orders directly from King Hamad himself on two levels. First of all, inside, to even launch assassination attempts against members of the opposition, the Bahraini opposition, that later on became active in a peaceful protest, which is in 2012. And these plots began in 2003. So you can imagine how far back the Bahraini government was working in order to try and stop its people from getting their voice out. This is in addition to the plots that it had against Iran. And ironically, as you said, we hear accusations daily from the Bahraini kingdom and the Saudi kingdom against Iran for saying that they plotted terrorist, so-called terrorist attempts, whether inside Bahrain or in other areas, and accusing them of terrorism, as they have accused also the Qatari state of terrorism. And this is clearly only part of their campaign to try to divert attention from what they have done. They try to probably buy these people into such issues, into going into Al-Qaeda, into going into for terrorist attacks, and trying to create some sort of perhaps toppling or chaos within the Islamic Republic of Iran, and try to accuse the Bahraini opposition of following so-called foreign agendas and being armed. And all this turned out to be a false accusations, as the primary witnesses are saying clearly. So I'm sure that this is just the first episode has been aired, and still we see that there are big reactions from the Bahrainis, because it seems that they do have a lot to hide.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Mariam Saleh, our correspondent there from Beirut, giving us a little insight into this documentary. Let me introduce our guest. American author and former diplomat Michael Springman joins us from Washington, D.C., and former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst James Jatras also joins us from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me first start with you, James Jatras. The first revelation out of this documentary called Players with Fire has revealed that Hosham Baluchi, a leader of a terrorist group, has said that Bahrain hired him in 2006 to do espionage and other operations in Iran. Does this surprise you? Do you take this documentary to be authentic, in your opinion?
Well, for the sake of this discussion, let's assume that the facts asserted in it are correct. Now, I'm not in a position to ascertain that one way or the other, but let's ask, is it plausible that these things are true? And I think it is plausible that there is a lot of, let's say, a lot of dirty things going on under the table in a number of these countries, and the idea that they would resort to using terrorist groups as a cat's paw for carrying out its their activities is nothing to be surprised at. And let's remember the standoff that occurred a couple of years ago between Qatar, where this allegation is coming from, and Saudi Arabia, and with the United States siding with Saudi Arabia, that the Qataris were supporting terrorism. Of course, they were referring to their relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood. At the same time, we know the Saudis and many others support their favorite terrorist groups. So the idea that the Bahrainis would be using some terrorist groups, both domestically or internationally, as it suits their purposes, while let's be honest, repressing the majority of their population doesn't surprise me at all.
Michael Springman, revelation number two, we need to discuss the revelations and then get a reaction from you. So this revelation in the documentary said that Mohamed Saleh, who's the head of Al-Qaeda in Bahrain, has confessed that the security officials of Bahrain wanted him in 2003 to assassinate Shia dissidents of the rulers, including one by the name of Abdul Wahab Hussein. Now, he's important to cite here because he's one of the most prominent opposition leaders in back then, the 90s uprising. Does it surprise you that you have a Bahraini regime cooperating with Al-Qaeda?
Well, yes and no. I have seen what the Bahrainis have done to their own people, and they are remarkably repressive and autocratic, and they are very, very close to Saudi Arabia, another repressive and autocratic and despotic regime. So it doesn't surprise me there. But the fact that I had researched and written about how the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan's Islamic Intelligence Services Intelligence Committee had created Islamic terrorism and who had supported, trained, and worked with them to spread terror throughout the region and the rest of the world, I think that surprised me no end. I thought I'd done a thorough job of this, but it turns out that Bahrain has been in bed with Jabhat al-Nusra and a whole raft of other terrorist organizations, including the Ansar al-Furqan, which has been operating in Iran, attacking Iran Revolutionary Guards headquarters in the southeast of the country, and also attacking a pipeline in Ahvaz. So the extent of it is amazing to me, and I thought I knew the area reasonably well, but there's obviously more that to come out that nobody really knew about before.
You know, I'm trying to make the viewers see, James Dutras, if possible, the extent of cooperation based on this documentary in this case and overall based on information that you have. Because, again, another insight into this documentary says that Bahrain's King Hamad personally wanted Saudi Arabia to release the Al-Qaeda leader of Bahrain, Mohamed Saleh, who was back then imprisoned in Saudi Arabia, and then for him to carry out the actions that he has done. To what extent are the regimes in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia intertwined with Al-Qaeda?
Well, I think Michael points out something very important.
Well,
and
I
that
think
is
they're very well closely connected.
Michael Springman, James Dutras. Sorry. Go ahead, James Dutras.
I think Michael pointed out something very important here, is that nobody here is surprised when we talk about the Saudis and the Emiratis and other let's say major players having their hands in this business, but nobody, I don't think, really thought that much about the Bahrainis as being an important player in this regard. And I think that's partly because they are so dependent upon the Saudis that, to a great extent, I would say that they are a satellite of Saudi Arabia. Let's remember the Saudis even had to send troops into Bahrain not too long ago to help to prop up the Bahraini regime. So the idea that they may have an independent agenda of their own to some extent, I don't know to what extent we can weigh exactly that they are doing things of their own volition as opposed to acting on cues from the Saudis. So the idea that the Bahraini ruler would ask the Saudis to release somebody that the Saudis themselves were holding, I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of a wink and a signal there between the two sides about maybe what the Saudis would really rather do, and they're simply upon this initiative by somebody else. I think we need to have an open mind as to what the relationships are among these entities, but I think there's no question that between the Saudis and the Bahrainis are definitely the junior partner.
Michael Springman, obviously the tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran are pretty widespread in many different ways. But Bahrain, why would Bahrain, maybe we should ask this question if you can help answer it. Why is Bahrain so set on acting against Iran?
Well, Iran, the major religion is Shiism, and a good number of the population of Bahrain are Shia people as well. And the Bahraini king is simply trying to tamp down Shiism anywhere he can. He sees them as dangerous and to his own corrupt government and somehow wants to revive a 1,000-year-old dispute between Sunni and Shia Islam, which might have been practical 1,000 years ago and a concern 1,000 years ago. But today, I think it's not important anywhere except in places like Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, where they are Salafists, they are Wahhabis, and they are people who cannot tolerate any other brand of religion except the extreme form of Islam that no one outside of those two countries accepts.
James Dutras, Bahrain has on many occasions accused Iran of supporting terrorist groups inside of Bahrain, one example, and stoking unrest in the Persian Gulf island, whether it's through direct support in terms of upholding some of the aspirations of Bahrainis, but without really providing any evidence, and the accusations run pretty deep. There has been no evidence really presented to implicate Iran, even though the U.S. has come out and put Iran on a State Department terrorism report. This is back in 2017. Do you think the U.S. is aware about Bahrain's actions, such as what has been revealed in this documentary?
I would say that it's likely that U.S. authorities are not only aware of them, but are supportive of them. That's one of the huge hypocrisies here of American and Western policy. They accuse Iran of supporting terrorism. And of course, in the mind of American officials, any assertion of regional interest by Iran is terrorism. And any governments that are even on friendly terms with Iran are, if not terrorists themselves, are flirting with terrorism. Let's remember Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech when he talked to the U.S. Congress, was saying there are four countries that are controlled by Iranian terrorism. He referred to Yemen because of the Houthis, Iraq because it's a majority Shia country, Syria because, well, it's not a Shiite country, but you have an Alawite secular ruler who is pro-Iranian, so I guess that makes him an Iranian terrorist too. And then, of course, Lebanon because of Hezbollah. This is the mentality you're dealing with people here. At the same time, when our Wahhabist fanatic friends in Saudi Arabia support a complete alphabet soup of terrorist groups across the world, we turn a blind eye to that because these are the foot soldiers we use in places like Libya or Syria to overthrow governments we don't like.
Michael Springman, so when we fast forward now to today, there are still terrorist activities that are going on, especially in the southwestern part of Iran. We could also refer to the area that borders Pakistan. And that is where some of these terrorist activities have taken place. Do you think that Bahrain, maybe through cooperation of its big brother, Saudi Arabia, do you think they're still involved in activities to undermine Iran?
I would think so. I mean, judging from the statements made in public by the Saudis, and from this revelation by Al Jazeera of the covert operations run out of Bahrain, I think, yes, indeed, there's a strong connection to this. And I think we ought to add in the fact that the Americans are deeply involved, as our other guests had said. Remember, Bahrain is the home port for the U.S. Fifth Fleet with the 20,000 sailors and Marines and aircraft carriers, cruisers and destroyers and so forth, along with some 4,000 civilians ashore in Manama, the capital there. So I think it's a nasty interlocking relationship, and each side supporting the other. And I think it's done, as was noted, with the knowledge and the connivance of the United States of America.
James Dutras, the idea of Iran supporting people who are, I guess, fighting for their rights, the Palestinian issue is one of them. Of course, we could talk about what is going on in Bahrain, not to mention Yemen, perhaps. But do you think the regime there is using Iran as a scapegoat? That has been mentioned on a number of occasions by different analysts. But how do you see it?
I think they are, of course. And because they equate the aspirations, again, talking about Bahrain, of what is it, 70% of the population is Shiite, for a change in the autocracy that they live under, that equates in the American mind to support from Iran and support for terrorism, even though there isn't necessarily, as far as I can see, anything terrorist about that movement. And let's remember, none of these these Gulf states are democracies, certainly not Saudi Arabia in any meaningful sense of the word. If we're going to talk about democracy, holding elections, having competitive elections, certainly Iran is head and shoulders above, say, Saudi Arabia. So I think there is an element of propaganda. Look, this all comes down to not the merits of what these countries do or what kind of groups they support. It really comes down to whose side are you on? And if you're on the U.S. side with the Israelis and the Saudis and the Emiratis, you're one of the good guys. And if you are opposed to them, just in terms of regional competition, then you're one of the bad guys, and nothing you can do can be right.
Well, Michael Springman, the U.S. is trying to make a case along with its ally, Saudi Arabia. And, of course, you can then talk about all the other Persian Gulf countries that fall under Saudi Arabia, such as Bahrain, who are out to get Iran. Isn't that a kind of hypocrisy that's being exercised when you take a look at, for example, what's happening in Bahrain? Why is Bahrain so important for the U.S.?
Well, it's a place for the headquarters for the Fifth Fleet. It's a convenient cat's paw, another base surrounding Iran, along with others in other countries. So I think Bahrain is a willing partner. They derive fair amounts of money from the American presence there. And in return for the money, which is propping up their rather unhealthy economy, I think that they love to have the Americans there and will do whatever the Americans want to do. They want regime change everywhere except in their own country. They've been fighting against the people who want a constitution and real elections for the last 8 years. So Bahrain is very important to the United States as an operative in the area. And of course, the United States is very important to Bahrain to keep the country operating.
And when we take a look at the future and what it holds for Bahrain, James Jatras, this uprising is still off and on throughout the years at this point, reaching its initial beginning and its peak, really, from 2011 onwards. Do you think that the regime there is going to continue with this practice of trying to suppress dissent, imprisonments, torture, etc., continue the path that it's on?
I don't see any reason why that would change. If you're riding on a tiger and you have him by the ears, how do you get off? And I don't think the regime there has much of an alternative. I think it is interesting, by the way, that Al Jazeera has put this out. Of course, this is based in Qatar, and I assume it would not come out with the agreement of the Qatari government, which has itself been found on the receiving end of this regional agenda, even though it's not a Shiite country, but they have good relations with Iran. And that is really the basis for their accusation against them, that they're supporting terrorism, not the relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood, which many of those countries, including the Saudis, have had in the past. I have to wonder if this is part of a calculated strategy by the Qataris to take a shot back at the Saudis and the other countries that are closely tied to them in an ongoing propaganda war. I hope this program. Comes out in English as well as in Arabic.
And Michael Springman, my final question is going to go to you. Do you think that Qatar, whether it's through Al Jazeera or other means, will continue making revelations of this nature, given the fact that it's got this long-standing dispute with Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think there's a good possibility of that. This 50-minute program entirely in Arabic, which is far beyond my skills, seems to do very well at opening up a real can of worms that the Saudis and the Bahrainis have been sitting on. So I think with this continuing opposition to Iran, Qatar, by Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, I really do believe that the Qataris will fight back. And if they can find more information and reveal it publicly and put it out in English, they will do so, and that it will be to everyone's good.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to end it there. American author and former diplomat Michael Springman spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Former U.S. Senate Foreign Policy Analyst James Jatras also spoke to us from Washington, D.C. That is for this edition of The Debate. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Newsroom at pressrv.ir. From me, cover the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.